Hi, my name is Bruce McDonald, and you're listening to After the Credits on Row3.com, the best row in the house.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am your host, Marina Andrews.
And I'm Colleen.
And joining us today, special guest,
Colin,
making his second debut. Ooh, I guess it's not a debut the second time, right? It's more like the second appearance.
Second boo.
The second.
I don't know.
We're on location, hence the noise on the fly with Colleen's new toy.
Zoom 2.
I'm very excited. We're doing free promotion now. The Zoom 2. Perfect for on-the-go recording. It's actually pretty fancy.
You read the reviews, and the only thing bad I could find anywhere is some people complain that it was kind of like plasticky.
Oh, good God.
I know. Really?
Doesn't look like you're going to kill anybody.
That's your complaint? Yeah, there's no mistaking it for a taser.
No, that's right. But I thought it would be cool to do a little wrap-up. I was sort of slow on the recording during the festival this year. It was kind of an odd festival. It didn't seem like there were as many people around for some reason.
Yeah, it didn't feel festival-y enough.
No!
I think you guys both also saw way more films, so you didn't have nearly as much breathing room.
Well, I think you sort of become acclimatized to the festival, and I think that might have something to do with it.
Might be, I don't know.
I found it weird because there was only really one film that I was salivating to go see. And normally there's a half a dozen that I'm like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Must see that.
Yeah, I didn't really get that. Lots I wanted to see, but very few that I'm like, oh God, I'm going to quit work to go see.
I'm going to take 2 weeks off solid.
That's right. Yes, well, you booked me, but I won't be there, just so you know.
So we thought we'd get together and do like a festival wrap and sort of talk about some of the films that we really enjoyed and do a little bit of a top five list. Now, you'll have to forgive me. I did get top five lists from a few other people. They will be included in the show notes. So shout outs to Bill, our festival buddy out of Victoria, and to Richard, the Seattle film blog. We'll link to him as well in case you don't already know Richie should. They both provided some top fives, so we'll include those in our record when the show goes live.
I'll be interested in seeing Bill's, considering you probably saw another 130 films this year.
It's very funny. Bill's list surprised me. There's a couple of titles on this list.
It's weird. I didn't think that you'd love some of those movies.
Yeah, exactly. I know that one for sure was Fathers and Sons, which was a big shocker because he's not usually a Carl Desai fan. I'm usually the fangirl.
So yes. It was yes, pretty. You are.
Yes, I am. It's true. Yes, Carl, you have a fangirl. I'm sure you have more, but you have one at least in me. But so we thought we'd talk sort of top five-ish, maybe top 10-ish, depending on what you guys have. I know Khaled has at least 10. And then a couple
is
of
is it
a
ratio thing?
Yes.
Is it a ratio thing?
Yes.
Okay, I get like top 50.
Well, because, yeah, how many did you see? What was your final tally?
Well, I didn't count, but I think I reached 108.
That's nutty.
That is nutty. I think I might have hit 50.
You missed your platinum pass.
Yeah.
Hey man, platinum
pass. It was a perfect year for me. I had nothing to do with the festival, so why not?
It works out, exactly. So how do we want to do this? Do we want to start with like number five? Because I have to admit, my first two titles are pretty much solid and the rest is kind of like, there's a tie, so I've sort of just all lumped them together as a top five.
Yeah, you know what?
Same thing with me.
Yeah. Other than my number one, I think
we're pretty sure
it could be mixed around my other four. Yeah. So.
Okay, well, let's keep our number ones for like last, and we'll talk about some of the other movies that we watched that we really enjoyed. And Colleen, why don't we start with you?
My number five?
Yeah.
It's a film called Reverse. I believe it was out of Poland.
Yeah.
And essentially after World War II, communism, sort of paranoia sweeping.
Stalin era.
It's a very dark, but it was funny too. Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. One of my favorites. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I saw the first day of the festival.
Yeah, October 1st. Great.
Oh, wow.
I have my ticket stubs in front of me.
That totally wasn't even on my radar. I totally missed that.
You know, anything that's even remotely sort of World War II or just after, I'm usually pretty interested in. So
there we go, Reverse. Colleen's number five. Khaled?
My number five is Pulsar.
Oh, which you saw the last day of the festival.
Yeah, my last day of the festival, yeah. I really like that. It was sort of a weird Belgian film. Sort of like kind of feeling a Hitchcock with sort of this mystery kind of story, but yeah. Was surprisingly good, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember you mentioning that you were going to go see that the last day of the festival. And it's one that had totally bypassed my radar.
Yeah, I mean, it looked interesting, but it didn't look that good. But, yeah.
Turned out to be a really good
one. Turned out to be really good.
Awesome. Well, my number five, and I'll also go with one of the first films. I think it might have actually been the first film I saw at the festival. An Irish film called Snap, which I think no one saw.
I loved that one.
You loved Snap. It's funny, it's one of these movies that, you know, it played in the first half of the festival, and then it didn't play again in the second half, so they only had two screenings. And the screening that I was at was, there was maybe 50 of us, and the second screening, apparently, there weren't
many more. Yeah, it was less than half of the theater.
Yeah, and it's a really, really, really well put together drama about, I guess, family relationships and abuse. And it's really fascinating because the director also wrote the script, which was based on a stage play. She's actually a stage director that started as a one-woman show, or a skit that went into a one-woman show and then went into a film. And it's really, really, really well put together. Like, amazing script, really well acted. I mean, I don't know if it's one that's going to be flying around at other festivals. I don't know what sort of longevity it's had so far, but definitely one to see.
Is that the one with the poster with the two sort of pictures of eyes over the face?
Yes, yes. It's just, there's so many different layers to it, and it's one of these movies that you watch it once and you're like dumbfounded at how good it is, and you watch it a second time because you've missed bits. And yeah, I mean, even thinking about it later, it's kind of one of those things that just gets more complicated as you think about it.
And even, I mean, the topic, it's not that new, but I mean, the approach was very unique.
Very unique.
Yeah, something hasn't been done before.
So Snap.
That's too bad. Yeah, it was on my very first rough draft of the stuff I wanted to see, but just scheduling-wise, the curse.
It happens.
My number four is The Man from Nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby.
I hated that one, didn't I?
You hate
really?
It?
Yeah.
Okay, I can understand not liking it, but how can you hate it?
No, I mean, on the festival sort of scale, I hate it, yeah.
Oh, I guess. I don't know.
You know, the thing I found very strange seeing it, most of the theater was young Korean origin kind of thing, and they laughed at points where I'm not quite sure what the joke was, but there was something obviously very funny. Usually when the lead took off his shirt, all of a sudden, like, the laughing's going on, like...
Well, it's either that or...
the deep sigh?
Well, because when I saw it, there's a scene where, spoiler alert, you know, it's not on the poster or anything, when he, you know, shirtless little bandage thing, and he's shaving his hair, and there was, like, two different groups at that same exact moment. One of, like, young girls near the front that went... And then the other group, the guys, that went, huh. It was very amusing to me. I thought that was very, very funny.
I like that one a lot.
We can't pass that movie without talking at least about the knife fight.
I loved the knife fight. That was perfect. Awesome. The rest of the film is like any other Hollywood action film.
It was pretty. I mean, it's the biggest blockbuster of the year in Korea, so I mean, obviously.
Yeah, but I expected it to be, you know, Korean, not
so. Well, it's very sort of old boy ish.
What?
Ish, I say.
How dare
you? Oh, it was sacrilege. You remember for them.
How emo he was with the hair and all that, yeah.
Very cute. He is very handsome.
He is true enough.
Okay, my number four is Another Year, which is one of the big films.
This is the Mike Lee film.
Yeah.
This is the one that everybody loved.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these big films, so I thought I'll put one of those in the list. I loved them all. I thought it was really funny and very well made. Yeah.
And it's one that, like, this year I went, but every year I sort of say I'm not going to watch any of the big movies. This year I actually went through on my conviction and I skipped them all. So this one is on my list to see.
Well, I skipped most of the big ones, but except for this and a couple of ones. But yeah, and all people, I mean, everyone I talked to, they loved it.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things.
Didn't see it. Wasn't on my radar.
Doesn't really surprise me much.
No.
To be honest. Okay, my number four, if I had to put it in any sort of order, Russian animated film, The Ugly Duckling.
Yay!
Fabulous, 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 fabulous. It's stop motion animation from Russia. It's a story of the ugly duckling set to Tchaikovsky, with a little bit of communist
lyrics,
overtones.
Kinda.
Genius.
I love this.
Touching, funny, beautiful.
And I still think it's not for kids.
No. There was a little girl sitting beside me who was okay for most of the movie. She must have been about 6 or 7.
Except for the hunting
When the gun came out, she like jumped across the seat towards her mom's lap. It was quite amazing. And her mom's like, it's gonna be okay. Yeah. It's gonna be okay.
How old was this person?
About 6 or 7.
Oh, so was this one the ones that they had
this was one of the
rated
family,
yeah.
One of the rated family friendly films. And
cool.
For the most part it is. I mean, I think if you can watch Bambi, you're probably okay.
But there are no communist references in Bambi. So.
No, but I think that those you can sort of... I think that for a kid, they're probably going to overlook that. It's just something that's really funny. But yes, for the adults, it certainly works on another level.
And I have to say, the Kami song, The One in the Morning, that was awesome.
That is very, very awesome. Yeah. Very, very awesome. I don't know if it'll play anywhere. It was, I think, the international premiere at VIFF.
Yeah.
If it comes anywhere near you, run to the theater and you won't regret it. It's awesome. Awesome.
Cool.
Number 3.
For me?
Yep.
Oh, sorry. I'm not paying attention. My number 3 is How I Ended This Summer, a Russian film. You know what? If we had done this directly at the end of the festival, I don't think it would have been in my top 5. But the longer I'm, the farther away from the festival we get, the more I remember every part of this film. I can remember every scene in my head, every nuance, everything they were doing. And I just love this film. So it's moved up to my number 3. Essentially, 2 guys left at a weather station in Siberia or something like that, way up in the Arctic kind of thing, and a misunderstanding happens, and the young guy becomes very paranoid of the old guy. So it's just good. Yeah.
It was fun. Yeah, I loved that one too.
It was on my list of 1 to 6. I really loved the trailer, but it just didn't.
No, I loved it.
There's a scene, it's not giving anything away, but he's hiking across the desolate landscape, and he looks and sees this paw print in the mud, and then he looks a little bit farther up, and there's a wet paw print on the rock, meaning that the big polar bear has been here very recently, and he glances across the little ways away, and walking up the slope is a polar bear, and it stops, and it looks around, and it looks right at him. And the guy starts running and like looks around and bear's still barreling after him. Yeah.
Okay, the trailer didn't look that funny.
It's not funny,
it's
but
not
that,
funny.
That scene
was
pretty funny,
yeah.
The panic.
Number 3?
My number 3 is End of Animal, which is one of the student films, or not student, but one of the young directors from
South Korea.
South Korea.
Yeah.
So probably it won't be anywhere. I mean, unfortunately, I don't think it's gonna be on DVD or anywhere else. But it's worth mentioning. It's the 3rd on my list, and I loved that film.
And I cannot believe this. I completely left it off my list. How that's possible, I don't know, but I'm going to add
it. But you loved it.
Oh,
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I did absolutely love it. And it's funny because this was a film that sort of, it was one of the first ones that was announced on schedule. I read the description, I'm like, oh my God, I must see this.
Yeah, that was one of the first films that I really wanted to see.
Yeah.
On my radar.
I mean, and there's nothing floating around about it. I mean,
no.
There's a couple of images from BFI London, which I think is the only other festival it's played at.
Well, that's usually the case with all the films from the Dragons and Tigers. Because they're all young and they're just like recent graduates or something like that. So
I mean, he had one short film, he's done one short film before, which played at VIFF last year.
Yeah.
This is his feature film debut, and it's spectacular.
Yeah.
Like, truly, truly spectacular.
Yeah.
Post-apocalyptic, but a really intimate, small story. Yes.
Post-apocalyptic?
Yes.
I missed this.
Yeah.
This is unacceptable.
Yeah, but it wasn't that. I mean, the theme wasn't that. No,
I mean, it takes place in the post-apocalypse.
Oh, okay.
But it's all very, everything is very small and intimate. It's really a people's story.
I mean, if this wasn't himself one of these
then I don't feel too bad.
I mean, it would have turned like to a cult film or something.
Oh, yeah.
One of these.
And, I think eventually if it ever makes it on DVD anyway.
I hope it makes it on DVD.
So do I. I hope it gets picked up by, you know, one of the small indie companies because it's one that
I was hoping it would won the
The Dragons and Tigers Award. I know, I was really disappointed.
Yeah.
I didn't actually see the film, though.
I didn't see it in a long time.
But this is definitely one I recommend. It's fantastic. And, you know, I would probably put that then as my number two, but I forgot it, so I'm going to have an extra title on my list.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention this film. It's one of the... I didn't see as many Canadian films as I usually do this year. I did see one which I absolutely loved for probably all the wrong reasons. It's a small, super indie Canadian film called Uncle Ryan. Just freaking genius. It's about a teenage kid who's nothing but trouble, and you know, usually you get these Hollywood movies where, you know, kids do bad stuff and then they get harm and everything goes good. This ends badly. Uncle Brian.
Awesome.
Yes, it's, and the final scene comes and you're like, holy shit, they actually did it. Like, you think, you never imagine it will happen, and then they pull through with it. There's no resuscitation, no happily ever after. Awesome. Awesome.
I have that on my list actually because I had to switch it with Down Terrace.
Oh, which is also
excellent
selection.
Yeah. But I
excellent
really wanted to see that. Mm-hmm.
My number two is Cold Fish. I'm telling you, Japan brings me all the best violence.
Asia in general,
but you know what? Every year, the stuff out of Japan just. It makes me happy just thinking about some of the stuff I've seen in the last few years out of Japan.
Like the violence from other countries, it's more like action or like fighting scenes. From Japan, it's twisted.
it's twisted violence.
Twisted and brutal.
You know what? And the thing about that film is, it really doesn't pick up right till the very end. And then it's like jello wrestling in human body chunks.
Well, this is the thing, because I had heard people that saw it, I think it was in Toronto, that it was like this really twisted little movie, and I'm like, so we're watching it, I'm like, okay, well,
you're waiting for a typical Japanese,
You know, I should have known, because I didn't recognize the name of the director, but I've seen one of his previous films.
Oh, yeah?
That was called? I'm not going to remember. All I remember about that movie was a bunch of girls on a subway train platform who commit mass suicide by jumping on. I'll put it in the show notes if I remember.
Excellent.
To see that.
That sounds like my kind of film.
Yeah, Cold Fish was pretty twisted.
Yeah, you know what? As soon as you get to the pencil scene, it became my number two film. As soon as the pencil came up.
That ending is pretty out of left field, too. It's kind of like, okay, seriously, that really just happened?
Try living with that, bitch!
I can't believe it's a true story.
Well,
what?
I'm sure the true story was like very minimal.
I mean,
the
chair. Yeah, sure. 1% of that movie is true.
Yeah, that's twisted enough.
Yeah, that's still twisted enough.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so my turn.
My turn.
Oh, yeah, your turn.
How dare you? My number two is The White Meadows. From Iran.
So beautiful.
So mystical and magical.
I had a ticket and I just burnt out for the last day.
You're shaking your head.
Yeah.
If you read some of the stories in The Arabian Nights, it's like a page from that book.
Aww.
It's like one of these mystical, weird, kind of magical.
Okay, make me feel really bad now.
Stories, yeah.
Oh, but I mean, I couldn't believe watching that movie was that places like this actually existed on this earth.
Yeah.
It's so gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's so gorgeous.
I mean, the film looked gorgeous. The story was amazing. And the music.
Oh. Seriously awesome. I really, I have that as one of the movies that we need to talk about, so that's credit to him, because I really did love that. Is it my turn now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, my number two is 13 Assassins. Because, you know, you can't have Viv without Takeshi Miike.
Oh, Takeshi Miike. Awesome. You're my friend.
Awesome. And yeah. Apparently, mm-hmm. the version of the film that we saw has 17 minutes cut out of it.
What?
Can you believe that?
Really? In the festival?
Yes.
What did they cut?
They cut a bordello scene just before they go to the small town to set up the booby traps. Yeah. Yep. They cut a 17-minute bordello scene.
That's no good.
That's what I said.
That's a no get. Well, see, it's to get me to buy.
That part of the film was sort of, you felt like was rushed out somehow.
Well, and this is the thing. It's like the first hour is lots of talking.
Yeah, it was going slowly, and then when the main thing started, sort of went quickly. Yeah,
it's like 60 minutes of non-stop violence.
Bring on the Uber violence.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yes.
But I mean, I absolutely love this movie. I'm not a huge fan of samurai films. They're not really my favorite genre.
I love samurai films.
I'm assuming this might be your number one.
Samurai film? No, it's my number two.
Oh, your number two.
Samurai film of all time. Or are you talking about festival?
No, festival.
Oh, festival? Yes, it is, in fact. 13 Assassins is my number one film.
I haven't come up yet, so I assume.
So it's a good segue in, yeah. You know what? This film just blew me away. It beat Yojimbo in my mind.
Oh my god.
I love Yojimbo. The only samurai film that I've seen that I love more than this film is Samurai Rebellion. Which was another one where there's almost no violence until the very, very end.
And I mean, I'm totally okay with the no violence part. I mean, I can watch movies that don't have any violence.
As long as it leads up to the violence. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I don't need to have violence at all. I like the fact that everything was sort of stockpiled at the end.
Yeah.
It totally worked for me.
So much. Yeah, no, this was definitely a Takeshi Miike hit.
Yes.
Sometimes I've seen Mrs. God's Puzzle.
We're still trying to figure that
Uzi.
One out. Okay.
What was that God's opaque puzzle. Water in that girl's room?
Yeah, can you explain to us what that opaque?
What did that signify?
It's been 2 years and it's not an easy film, so you can't ask me now to explain it.
Yeah, the funny thing is, it's 2 years later.
But I remember
still talking
that.
About
I remember when he jumped the guitar from the ceiling.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
What, I mean, not the word.
Wasn't it String Theory through Teenage Love?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is genius on its own. I mean, even when he's failing, he's doing so wonderfully.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he's not afraid to try anything.
Yeah.
I
mean, this is the thing. Even when they don't work, they're still fun to watch.
But, you know what? This film, he kept the insanity down to, like this is a real samurai film. This isn't sort of like Uzi, which had samurai traveling through time.
It was very traditional.
Yeah. And it worked. It was awesome.
Awesome, okay. We're all in agreement.
Number one, drum rolls and Sandy's.
Oh, shot through the heart.
And Sandy's for Oscars. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I haven't even seen it, and I'm saying that.
Sandy's for Oscars.
I know, it was also the
tough to watch. Incredible story, great acting. Yep.
Denis Villeneuve. Denis. I have no idea. But he also won the Rogers People's Choice Award?
Not the People's Choice, was it E.T., the E-Channel, thing?
Yes, for Best Canadian Film.
Best Canadian Film, yeah.
I'm sure it's well-deserving. All of his films are fantastic. Going on his previous
if
work
if you
want
to know how tough it is to watch, Bill said he won't watch it again.
Well, I mean, the same is true with Polytechnique. I mean, it's a type of film that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I never need to watch it again.
Gut punch.
It really is. All of his films are like that. His shorts.
This one is tough in the story itself, not much as Polytechnique, the scenes. I mean,
I think Polytechnique hits on two levels, especially if you're a woman, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it was a real gut punch. Thematically as well.
I mean, it was like,
So I mean, but I've sort of come to expect that all of his films are fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen anything from
him.
Yeah, I love
all of his films. Thumbs up. Opening later this year from the sounds of it, so that's why I left it off my list. I figure it would come eventually. We're going with my number one?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, I'm hitting you with the French film of Gods and Men. I was transported somewhere else for, you know, 2 hours or however long it was. Something about this movie just totally worked for me on all
really
levels.
Yeah.
All levels. I mean, it's really slow. There's no violence.
What
lots
good
of
is
talking.
It?
Actually, not even a lot of talking. A lot of silent moments. I don't know, just something about
a lot of praying.
Film. A lot of praying.
A lot of chants.
Yeah. I don't know, just something about this film. I think what...
It's the mood. The mood of
it. It is. There's a mood and a feeling that it evokes. And it was really refreshing to see a film about... it's not really about religion so much as it is about spirituality.
Yeah.
And, you know, personal belief.
You have to be religious to,
no,
you
don't.
To sympathize with the story.
No, but I think that's what I really liked about it. It showed sort of, because, I mean, we're used to seeing religion in a very limited sort of worldview. And I really like the fact that we have people that are religious, I mean, they're monks.
Yeah.
But they're in touch with what's going on around them.
Yeah.
And they interact with the people in this town, and they're trying to, they're friends with them,
yeah.
And they're trying to
understand.
And it shows
you how much faith could, people could withstand things just based on faith.
I absolutely worked for me. It's the best film I've seen this year.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the second.
If I did a top 10, it would have been on my top 10. So,
yeah. No, absolutely loved it. That's my number one film.
Not on my radar.
That's okay.
Not that it's, you know, I don't need violence in my films. I don't.
It's
just I'm
nice.
Generally attracted to
the violence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Missed the French submission to the Oscars.
Yes.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know.
If you send these, I would do it for us.
Awesome. Okay, we have a list of other movies to talk about. Colleen, you've got three little ticket subs.
I have three ticket subs.
Which one do you want to start with? Because I think we've seen them all.
Okay, Maiden Dagenham.
I haven't seen that one.
What? Between the two people who saw everything? Wow. I'm
going
to lord it over you all.
It's going to open, so...
Yeah, that's exactly why I left off my list.
Essentially a story about women at the Ford factory in Dagenham. God, that name is difficult for me to pronounce for some reason. Basically fighting to get equal pay. You know what? I just thought it was a really well done period piece from like the 60s. And it's just, you don't see a lot of period pieces from 1960 kind of thing. I don't know. I appreciated the fact that like they were underpaid simply because they were women.
Yeah.
And that was the only reason. Like there was no other reason than they could.
Yeah.
So I like that one.
Nice. Okay, hit us with the next one.
Oh, go through the whole thing. My biggest disappointment, Monsters.
Yep.
You know what? It's even called Monsters, and I had great hopes for it, but it really wasn't very good, especially at the end. The end of it, I was like, what the hell was that? Really? really? What?
I haven't seen it, but I mean, the trailer looked...
Wait, you didn't see Monsters? I thought for sure you had.
No.
Oh,
I
think
it was scheduled.
Well, I know you did, but I thought that one was
going
to
open anyway. I mean,
yeah. Well, my two cents on Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I'm just sort of indifferent. I like the concept. I like the execution for the most part.
Yeah.
The characters really annoyed me.
Exactly.
Both of them. Specifically, especially the guy, just pissed me off. I just didn't care for him.
Yeah.
But honestly, for this type of movie where you never really get to see the monster, I'll take Cloverfield any day of the week.
Exactly,
honestly.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, obviously, I think that this has like...
Really? I mean, the trailer, they showed the monster.
In which one? In Monsters?
Yeah, the trailer, yeah.
Yeah, no, and, I mean, you do
you
get
do
to
get
see
to
them.
See it at the end, but...
But I mean, I like the concept, and I mean, the movie isn't badly executed,
okay.
It just... It's just sort of bland.
Okay.
I mean, it's nothing new.
Well, I haven't
really.
Seen it, so
yeah, it's not bad, it's just... I really had high hopes. Reading the description, knowing that it was basically a film that basically was Monsters and the no-go zone, and I had high hopes,
yeah.
And I was completely let down. Like,
yeah.
Out of all the films I saw, it's the one where I walked out went, really?
Yeah. And I mean, I can't say I was disappointed, because to be honest, I wasn't really expecting much. I wanted to see it, but I'm like, well, you know, it's not the first movie like this. But for my taste, I'd rather watch Cloverfield over Monsters.
Exactly. Even if I have to watch it in five takes. I'd rather watch
Sense of Feel. Of course.
And the last one is Rubber.
Let's talk about Rubber.
You know what? Thank God the French finally did what this world really needs. A film about a serial killer Goodyear with psychokinetic powers. It's been a big void in cinematic history, and it's finally been filled. And now we can move on with our lives.
You know, I think you said it best. You said silly.
Silly, that's it, yeah.
And that's exactly what
and
I thought.
And the thing is, I went to see it, I knew it was going to be silly, and I thought that I would like it. But it was silly as I expected, but I didn't like it.
Oh, really?
But bear in mind, it was the sixth film of my day. I saw five, and then I saw it at 12.
Oh, you saw the midnight screening.
Midnight, was the sixth film of that day.
I bailed on the midnight screening.
So I had a long
yeah,
day,
I saw it during the day, but... You know what? It is what it is. It is a film about a serial killing tire.
I mean, I think it's... I mean, it's fun. It has a very sort of cult written all over it, cult film status to me.
This is going to bookend between Killer Tomatoes and Deathbed, the Bed That Eats. Like, inanimate objects, basically, on killing sprees.
Yeah,
There's a market for it. It's a very small, select market.
Well, and I'm totally good with that. What I don't understand is this other sort of story within a story about the people watching the tire and this commentary that I sort of read as pretentious filmmaking and watching pretentious filmmaking.
Yes.
People who are pretentious that watch pretentious filmmaking. Because, I mean, there's this whole other thing. Okay, we're going to spoil Rubber, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm going to spoil Rubber. Because, you know, you got this other whole thing. I'm talking with my hands around in circles. Because you have this whole other story about, you know, people watching the tire that hasn't really done anything yet, and they're like, oh, this is kind of boring. Oh, look, I think I see something happening in the distance. I mean, it's kind of like how you feel sometimes watching these art house films.
Yeah.
And with that opening thing where the guy comes out of the trunk and gives out a big spiel, I'm thinking, okay, so I can sort of see, like, your big message here, but it doesn't fit in your movie. Like, it's like you have two different movies that you cram together into one. So I'm waiting for somebody to write like a 4,000 word essay on how this movie is like so important because it dishes on art house films.
It not only breaks the fourth wall, it drags you in, beats you with the fourth wall, and then throws you back out again.
I'm actually surprised that essay hasn't been written yet.
Well, get right on it.
I think Inception had like 15 of those within like an hour of release.
Oh, I can totally see that though. But no, Rubber doesn't demand that. Rubber is a,
no. I mean, it
Rubber
is
what it is.
I did enjoy myself. I love the music. later found out that the director actually is a DJ or something. So he did all the music. So there's this like 80s inspired like action movie soundtrack, which I totally dug. And the final scene was pretty good. Come on, serial killing tricycle.
Yeah, I know.
An army of tires.
Yeah, rolling
sequel.
Towards Hollywood. Yeah.
Sequel!
I hope it gets it, because so much.
How it doesn't.
I'll probably own it. Like, just like all the four Killer Tomatoes films. Even though only two are good.
And the other movies? Come on, you must have another five.
You're not gonna like mine.
Okay, go
first. Metamorphosis.
Oh, which for crying is, out loud. We're going to have this argument.
Okay, here's the thing. Before I start, you cannot... I mean, the thing with this film, you have to watch it in a theater that is almost empty. That's the only way that you might enjoy it.
I would fall asleep.
Well, here's the thing. You didn't like it. You were bored with it, right?
Yes.
Well, that's the point. You have to get bored with it. That's the whole... That's the whole thing with this.
This is the whole pretentious filmmaking thing we were talking about.
that's it.
Just remember what was that Chinese film that half the theater walked out of before I couldn't even handle it anymore and walked out?
Was it this year?
Yes, it was the worst film I think I've ever seen at a festival. It wasn't because I was tired, it wasn't
poetry?
Because.
Was it poetry?
No, it was Chinese winter vacation. Oh my god.
Did you see that one?
No.
It sucked. Literally, streams of people walking out of it.
Wow. Okay, so Metamorphosis.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I,
Well, it's not like you're watching the film. It's like the film is trying to make you you're the character. So you are actually living this experience.
And I mean, I understand. And this is the funny thing, because you and I completely agree on every point about this movie.
Well, yeah, and those points is the reason I love it, and those are the
points that
why
I dislike
that.
Because I mean, for me, I don't think being bored in a movie is the experience I want to have.
Same thing with me, except that for this film, you're bored not because if the film was boring, because there was nothing going on. And you have to be this character in this film, because you're seeing everything from his point of view.
I understand that, but I didn't like it. I mean, I kind of liked the ending where they go all like swirly on you, and I thought like, wow, I should have taken some LSD. Maybe I would have enjoyed it more. But yeah, no, it just did not work for me.
Yeah. I mean, if I saw it like on a DVD or something, I don't know.
Oh, no, I don't think anybody could make it through.
It would only work on a theater.
Yeah, no.
And half empty theater for that matter.
With the doors locked from the outside. So you can't get out until it's over.
Your eyes crazy glued open.
Pretty much.
The other one you didn't like, I had tears from laughing at this film. James Rowe.
Okay, my apologies to begin with. Yeah. The director's actually a woman. And I had no idea, mind you, I can't tell from the name because it's Icelandic.
Yeah.
My sincere apologies. Thank you to the reader who pointed that out to me. I had no idea.
You mean Datter wasn't her last name?
No, it's very long. The only thing about this movie that worked for me was Daniel...
The German
actor.
Yeah.
Burn? I have
can't
no idea. He was awesome.
Like a lot of silly, funny...
And this is the thing. Little pieces I liked. Like, I laughed at some points, but some of it just became tedious. Like, the whole crossing the road
thing.
There's
one thing. I know that you said some of the scenes were repetitive, like, every time. But the thing, if you pay attention, like, every time the scene comes again, like, the road crossing and the whole thing, they add a new element to it.
Yes.
New element. And then at the end, all these elements sort of gathered around to the... and built to the final... ending without giving it, so...
Come on, you didn't like the mannequin being thrown in front of the car?
No, I mean, this is funny. There were some really funny parts.
Like
grandma in the hot-boxed car, Seal sitting on the hood.
Oh, playing nothing but sugar cubes.
I mean, there were some really seriously awesomely funny parts.
Did you like it?
I liked it. I didn't love it.
You
know what?
It is still the best. It took me a minute to figure that out. She's like, why don't you get a printer? And I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like, oh, he's photocopying his laptop screen. Got it. So maybe that's why I didn't get it.
You know, it's odd. I've had lots of experience with the Icelandic community, and there's one or two pieces in there.
Are they all that weird?
No. Well, Icelandic Canadians, not so much. But, you know, every once in a while something was on there that I'm like going, wait a second, I recognize that from the Anderson clan.
It was amusing. I'll give it that. It was amusing. You're done?
I got a lot of stuff. Just say stuff. Well, that's beautiful.
We have another hour on the card. So
yeah, we can keep talking, man.
Okay. It's one of these big films, but I had like to say one of these. It was Javier Bardem. And the director, I can't say his name, maybe you could say it.
Iñárritu?
Yeah.
Colleen, did you get a little steamy Javier Bardem?
I like him.
Yeah.
I do.
Collection. I'm secret polygamous husband?
No, but he's
okay,
a prospect.
Okay.
We're recruiting.
Well,
probably,
you know, Andrew is very sad because, you know, he and Penelope are going to have a baby. So Andrew's definitely out of the picture now. He's very sad about the whole thing. Sorry, Andrew.
Yeah.
You can do better.
This is his best
Penelope.
Role, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, his best role.
I'm definitely have to see this.
Cool.
I totally skipped it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about one that I just had in my mind. Because I don't know if you saw this one. R?
I was planning to, but I burnt out again.
Okay.
It's one of the six I didn't get to.
Okay, so let's talk about R, because I had a change of heart on that movie the day after I saw it.
Okay.
Because I walked away from, so this is a prison drama, I want to say it's Danish or German.
Danish.
Prison drama. I walked out of it thinking it was okay, Okay. Not necessarily great. I woke up the next morning, I was going to write my review, and thinking about it, and I left my review for like 2 days, because I thought about it. I absolutely love this movie.
I walked out of it thinking it was okay, same as you.
And you thought about the
movie. I hated it. Yeah. It was awful.
Really?
Yeah. The fact that they wrote in the VIF guide, the new A Prophet, for God's sake, come on.
That's a nasty comparison.
You can't compare the two, yeah.
I mean, they're totally different movies.
Well, here's the thing, I went to see it expecting A Prophet, you know?
I mean, I liked The Prophet a lot last year,
That was great. So.
And, I mean, these are two completely different animals. I mean, they're night and day. Like, really, they're just, the only thing they have in common is they're prison dramas. About two guys trying to, you know, stay alive inside.
But even the level of the film, you can't compare the two. I mean, A Prophet is it's just another level.
I can't compare them, because to me they're completely different. I mean, they're different style, different approach to the filmmaking.
I don't know, I feel like the same style.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, the new guy and the...
Oh, no.
Trying to survive and then you...
I mean, I think story-wise they have a lot in common, and maybe like plot points, but I mean, the approach to the story is executed very differently, and I mean, the films aesthetically are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different. I mean, they look nothing alike. Nothing alike. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that I like most about this is how sparse it is. There's just... I don't know. It's just really one of these bare, really harsh films. And it doesn't seem that harsh when you're watching it. So I think, I don't know if it's because we're acclimatized to violence.
I don't think it was that violent.
No, but I think that it's harsh.
I don't think it was that harsh, too.
I think it is.
Okay.
Oh man, freezer killing was pretty brutal. Yeah, that's the only one I had on my list to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything else. Oh, okay, because I'm sure I'd feel bad if I didn't. Mysteries of Lisbon.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't want to talk about it.
Which, I kind of didn't make it through part two.
I was surprised.
I know. It was very late. I should have watched it in the middle of the day when I'd only seen one previous movie.
Yeah.
I was three movies in that day. I was okay through part one. I thought I was going to make it. I sat down after the intermission, and after an hour, I burned out. I think you were sitting behind me.
Yeah, I left at the same time as you, kind of thing.
You saw like 3 hours out of 4.5.
I saw 3 hours out of 4.5.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind seeing the rest of it, because it was good.
Yeah.
It just... I was dying too, because I was at the same ones, Princess of Montpensier, which I loved a lot.
Yeah, which was quite good. But I mean, it was just a really long day.
I loved it, but I still think that it could work better as a miniseries than a film, which they already
have
miniseries version of it.
Yeah, which is airing now in Europe. So.
The only reason I don't have it in my top 10 because I don't see it as a film. I still see it as a miniseries, even the film version. So.
Well, let's talk about another long one, another marathon session, Carlos.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll keep that thought to myself.
Because I want to see it. I don't want to see it as parts. I want to see the whole thing. One shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Princess of Montpensier.
I loved it.
The period piece, 1600s, France. France.
Yeah.
A nice story, good acting, beautiful scenery. The costuming, the more I think about it, they did a really good job at doing it correctly.
Which is high praise.
For Colleen, yes.
The men's doublets had the seams tapered towards the back. The back part of the doublet went completely into the collar and had separate pieces in the front. Like, correct actual construction of a doublet, which I'm very happy with.
This and the other one that sort of comes to mind in the same breath is Sleeping Beauty. And the reason I mention them together is they're both French. Sleeping Beauty is Catherine Borlatte's film this year. A real disappointment, a mess of a movie. And I think my comment was that she would have been proud to make Princess Mononcier.
Yeah.
Because the story is...
I love the concept of Sleeping Beauty, but
badly
the execution wasn't that good.
Yeah, badly, badly executed.
Yeah.
It's no Bluebeard.
No.
No Bluebeard.
No.
But I found that The Princess Mononcier, as far as thematically goes, I mean, it's a film that Berlanti would be proud of making. I mean, it's strong female character who sticks to her guns, you know, regardless of how it turns out for her, and it does not end well. And it's just, it's a really beautiful, really sincere story, I think, was my feeling. It felt really authentic.
Yeah. Love Quadrangle.
Yeah. Trailblazer, that one. I'm done.
Okay. We get the German sci-fi transfer.
Ooh.
That was good.
Yeah, with the Buckable transfer.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to transfer. I enjoyed it.
It reminded me of Gattaca a little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of the mood of the film.
That's exactly what it is, the mood of the film.
Yeah.
Sort of has that same mood. Definitely not the same aesthetic. But I mean...
Not the story, nothing.
No.
It's just the mood of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the pacing is a lot right as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, the same thing, yeah.
I liked it, but I didn't love it.
I didn't love it, it was good.
I thought it was solid.
Yeah.
I think they really did themselves a disservice by dubbing the German. It wasn't really obvious in the beginning.
It was one of the funny things when you told me about it. I thought it was intentional in the film, because of the characters.
I know, that's an interesting way to read it.
I thought it was intentional, yeah. I didn't know it was dubbed.
Yeah, it was okay. I was okay with it at first, and then after a while it was just kind of like... I didn't really forget about it. It just started, not to piss me off, but sort of...
What if I knew it was dubbed because they were American, would have pissed me off during the film.
Yeah.
But because I didn't know, it didn't bother me.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe I shouldn't have brought that up.
Well, I saw it already.
It was okay for me, but there was one huge flaw in the logic of that film that really bothered me, and it sort of ripped me out of it, and I couldn't get back into the film. In a society that has technology that far advanced that you can transfer sort of like people into other bodies, you would think the discussion of pregnancy would have come up. And you know what? If they wanted kids, fine, then it wouldn't come as a surprise. If they didn't, it's called dermal implant. Like, it exists now, let alone in the future. Like,
yeah.
Dudes, it should be an obvious
common
thing. Like, when... Yes.
That's why we have Colleen here. She's the pragmatic one.
Well, when I'm having my actual essence transferred into another body in another 10 years, I'm going
to
ask this. I don't want to suddenly be knocked up. It's important.
Oh,
just saying. I think about these things all the time.
The meaning of the world, 42.
It's true. Don't panic.
That's right.
That's right. I'm looking for something that is not completely dissimilar from D.
Are we sort of running out of steam?
I think so.
Or is there anything else that's like...
Just all the major stuff.
All the major stuff?
That's it then?
Was it a good festival?
It was good festival. Was it a great festival?
It was decent.
Not so much for me. Yeah. I think I had more fun last year than this year, but it was still good. I'm looking forward to it until next year. Like, when's VIF coming around? Another 10.5 months? Or
yeah.
No, 11.5 months?
Long time away.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was a solid festival, I thought. Great selection.
Got to see Bill and Jason and Kat and all that.
I
should probably see Kat a lot more often if I actually went downtown.
But it was a good VIF. We didn't break any attendance records this year, but we did quite well, 148,000 attendees.
Good weather for it, too,
most
of it.
For
most
of it, the weather was pretty decent, so no waiting outside in lines. And,
is it just me, or are they getting better and better at basically keeping the lines down until about the last couple days?
Yeah. It's sort of, you really get the sense that the lines were much more in control and things were running a lot smoother. But it also didn't seem like it was as busy during the day.
No, I think that was one of the reasons that it was well organized this year. Yeah. It wasn't that busy.
Yeah, it didn't seem as crowded as it has in previous years. And so I'm not exactly sure if that's because of scheduling or, I mean, it could also have some, I mean, I didn't spend a whole lot of time at the park, but I mean, that's a great location and it's near transit. And
exactly.
There.
I wouldn't hesitate to go to park if it synced up like this year.
Yeah,
two of the films back to back.
Yeah, it was convenient. That was really convenient.
Yeah,
whereas Ridge.
I watched something at Granville, they went to the park, then Granville turned the park again.
Yeah.
So it's that easy.
Yeah.
Where at the Ridge, I just cross out the entire thing on the schedule.
Yeah,
I don't even
is,
need to look
yeah.
at that.
Because you can't. It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
But great year. They're doing some festival programming post festival. So there's a couple of return shows that have been screening for the last like, week and a half. I think they have another week of.
I think they're almost done.
Yeah, I think they're almost done with the screenings. Yeah, that's it. I think we're done with VIFF 2010.
Cool.
So come on by Row 3 to check out the other top 10 lists. Because we have a few more, and we'll have our lists up to links to reviews of whatever we've got reviews for. And be sure to tune in next week. I think it's next week. We have time to record the November preview. Might be a week late. That's okay. That's it. So
until next time.
We'll see you after the credits. You totally screwed me up.
Well, it's because Dale's not here.
There we go.
All right.
Finish.